Hello and welcome to Two Fat Expats, where we are all about packing as much into your expat life as you can. And that's what we mean when we say fat. We mean full and overflowing. This expat podcast is listened to in over 160 countries, and we have a Facebook group with, I almost can't believe this, over 18,000 members. I'm Kirsty Rice. I'm an Aussie and I'm based in Qatar. And each week I'm joined by Nikki Moffat, who's also an Aussie and she's in Hamburg, Germany. Together we have 12 locations between us, which is a lot of, now what is an apostilla? And will my new country need new ones if the other ones are over 3 years old? And how do I find out if I can switch my Amazon Prime TV shows to English in this country? Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you?
I am just fine, Kirsty Rice. Long time no speak on the interwebs.
Now, I almost don't feel like a real expat when I admit that I've never, ever had to use an apostilla.
This right now in Germany is the first time we've had to do it too. I think it's a mainly European thing.
Now, didn't you know someone that was her business or something in Hong Kong? She was doing that, like doing apostillas?
She was able to get them, yes, for Americans, yes. And she did that for me when I needed one because my daughter has a Hong Kong birth certificate. So I had to send her birth certificate unaccompanied to Hong Kong to get an apostilla on it to prove it was real.
That's almost like, you know, when you get off a plane in Malta and you hand someone your passport, someone that you've never met before, because they're going to take them off to get you into Libya somehow. And then and then when you do meet them again, they give you a handful of someone else's medication and say, you don't mind taking this into the country for them, do you? Oh, the things we do.
It's a leap of faith. Well, I'm glad. Libya was so long ago, so many countries for you, Kirsty.
Yes.
How can you even remember that story? You should really write it down.
Oh, I should, shouldn't I, Nikki? In maybe the form of, oh, I don't know, a postcard?
Now, Kirsty, today is just for you because you're all about the short and sweet episode. You're always trying to get us under 30 minutes. So what we're going to do today is a shorter version of the episode so we can wrap up the summers and finish season 5 and also finish our alphabet. So today we're up to Y. So we're going to have two short 30-minute episodes in the next couple of weeks. Today is for Y and the next one will be for Z. And so what we're going to do to achieve Kirsty's nirvana is to do a quick update of where our Northern Hemisphere summers are at. I know not everybody that listens has a Northern Hemisphere summer. Even though we're both Southern Hemisphere girls, we do live mostly in the Northern Hemisphere.
Add a quick sideline to that, I'm currently in the Southern Hemisphere. I'm not actually in Qatar. So I am sitting here in what I would call a jumper, some women may call a sweater. And Nikki, you...
I am in a short-sleeve shirt.
Yes, which you never see you in Hamburg.
Well, we're having our third European heatwave of the summer.
Oh, what is it?
It's come
23?
Right at the end. You know what? It was 32 yesterday. Don't be knocking the weather.
Actually, that is hot.
Yeah, it is hot, especially when you live in an attic and hot air rises. And then even when the storm comes through, it doesn't make your apartment cooler. So
okay, anyway. So how many minutes are we at now, Nikki?
We're at 5 minutes.
Okay,
that's 20, not bad.
25 to go. Now, your idea was we were going to do a quick rehash of the summers and that I'd tell you about mine this week and you could tell me about yours next week. Is that right?
Correct.
In our
that's
travels?
It.
Okay, so this feels like a gazillion years ago because my youngest son, who's at school in Qatar, he broke up at the end of May because of the Eid break, because we live in a Middle Eastern country that celebrates Ramadan and then subsequently Eid. And so we went off to Italy basically at the end of May. And seriously, he only started school this Monday, which is just so time references for people, is it's now the end of August. So he has been on holidays from the end of May to the end of August.
That's outrageous. Does he remember how to read and write and how to use his calculator?
Possibly not.
Okay, so but where did you go? You went to some great places.
We did. So we, controversially in our family, we took off with our youngest and went to Italy, and the three big kids were all at school in Australia, much to their disgust. But it just worked that way. We went away with another family who had children that matched in with his age. They were sort of passing through Doha on their way to Italy, and so it all just worked perfectly. And I have to say, Nikki, you forget, don't you, that when you travel with your children and there's other children, they do adjust and change, and they really are on their best behavior, aren't they?
It's much better than just traveling with your own children.
Yeah, it really is. And I had forgotten about that. Because we are a big family, we tend to just travel with us, like the four of us. But I had forgotten that if you throw some other kids into the mix, everything becomes a lot more pleasant, because no one's about to really do their nana because in front of the other family, because that's a bit embarrassing.
Yes.
So I digress. So we kicked off. We went to Milano, and a couple of days there. I would highly recommend going to see the Last Supper. That was definitely the highlight for me, and the Duomo. And then we hopped on a train. We trained it everywhere we went. We trained down to Lake Como, and we stayed in Bellagio. And then we trained it to Torino. We went there specifically because the woman I was traveling with had seen a Jamie Oliver episode where he had drank a certain chocolate drink in Torino that she wanted to go. And, of course, did we have one? No.
Because but can I just go back? When you were in Lake Como, did you feel like you're in every movie about Lake Como you've ever seen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yes, absolutely stunning. I think Canadians who have been to Vancouver Island would have a case to say, well, we've kind of got this, but just the Canadian type. And I guess the French in Annecy would say the same. But just absolutely stunning. But, I mean, the thing about not just Lake Como but Italy in general, it's the fact that every espresso you have is the best espresso you've had. Every pastry you get is the best pastry. Do you know, like you start to live that life, don't you? Like where you get up in the morning, you walk down to the cafe, you drink your espresso, you have your pastry, everything's a lot slower. Do you know, you start to really become Italian. You can't help it.
So then Torino, where you had no chocolate drink, but then you, where did you go after Torino?
After Torino, we went to the Cinque Terre. Have you been to the Cinque Terre, Nikki?
I have not. That's the only stop on your trip I haven't done.
Right. So the Cinque Terre is the deal where you walk from village to village up and down the mountains. And we did just that. The people we travelled with were far more healthy than us, and they are regular exercisers. Like they are the people that get up and surf every morning and do a 5K run every morning, and they're in great shape. And so it was actually probably we were good people to travel with in that we were doing things at different times. So, and there was no, it was very cruisy, and I didn't feel like we had to do what they were doing, nor they felt they had to do what we were doing. So we did spend a lot of dinners together and did do a lot of things, but we did break up a lot as well and just go off on our merry way. But the Cinque Terre was as absolutely stunning as it is in all of those pictures and magazines. It's everything you think it is, with you know, beautiful villages on the side of cliffs and, you know, stunning hills. But oh my God, it's, you have to be good at walking up and down hills. You really, really do.
I just have to say, I have seen a couple of people this summer in Italy do it by boat.
Yes.
So there's no walk. That seems
but
to be a good
option. Even then, when you go into the village, you have to walk up the hill, because even when you get off the train and you're staying in, and I guess that is something people can decide. You either stay in the villages and walk each one, you know, whatever, and you catch the train sort of back and forth, Or I think there's some people that don't stay in any of the villages. They stay, you know, half an hour away and then catch the train there and do the walking and then go back to wherever they're staying. Because if you're in the village, I did so much walking just up and down the hill just to go and grab a coffee or, you know, go and you'd go for a swim and you'd walk all the way down and walk all the way back up to your accommodation. And we, of course, were staying right up the top of the hill, which
with a good view,
with an amazing view. That's exactly what I was going to say. So you have this fantastic view, but I mean, you are thinking about, okay, this is the fourth time I've walked up this hill today. Do you know,
it's a little bit like living at the top of 100 stairs.
Yes. 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 It is exactly that. So, yes, after the Cinque Terre, we then went on to Rome and we just had 24 hours in Rome. And I think, Nikki, you summed it up because you said to me, Rome is one of those places where you come out of the metro and you walk up the stairs and you just go, oh, wow, every time. Yeah. And it really is. Every corner you walk around, everything you do is an oh wow moment. And we have to go back because we ended up, you know, you obviously can't do Rome in a day, pardon the pun. But we sort of chose the forums and the Colosseum and that site. So we've left it, okay, next time we'll go back and we'll do the Vatican and whatever. So while we've kind of done a general look, we haven't done the in-depth. But, yeah, absolutely stunning. And for me, because, you know, Nikki, you and I have talked about this before, of my travel tends to be just back and forth Australia, Qatar, yeah. Australia, Qatar, because I have three children in one and one in the other, and it's just managing my time between the two. So for me, it was a really good breath of fresh air of remembering you know, just what travel gives you, that it can be absolutely, you know, it inspires creativity, I think.
Perhaps writing.
Yeah. You know. Well, did you notice I did update my 4 kids 20 suitcases page every day, which I.
Yes, I did,
you know,
see that.
Haven't done inspiring. For ages. Yes, yeah, it did. It really did make me want to write. It made me want to eat, made me want to explore. And it did make me wonder whether expat life is the same as that or not. Like, does it have that same effect? You know, because we argue all the time that expats do travel, but they are living everyday life while they're doing it. You know, they have electricity bills and the rest of it.
So do you have the same wonder doing that trip as you would have if you weren't an expat? Like, is it the same experience?
Yeah. It did make me think about expats that get stuck in a rut, you know, when it stops being new and exciting. You know, I have been in Qatar now for 9 years, you know, whereas if you flip it around, I'd done 4 countries in 9 years, you know, in the beginning of my travels. So do you lose your sense of wonder? You know, is that the thing about, you know, continually challenging yourself as an expat to keep discovering, like not to just settle in and think you know everything, to push yourself to get out there a bit more?
Yes, good questions. Where else did you go? I know you went somewhere else.
Oh, we went to, yes. So when we came back, of course, to Australia, so we did that holiday back to Doha for a couple of days. My youngest and I then came back to Australia to see the big kids. And then when it was time for their school holidays, we went off to Bali, which you've also done the Bali holiday recently, didn't you? You did that 12
months
ago?
Yeah, we did last Christmas, 18 months ago for Christmas, yeah.
So where did you stay when you went to Bali?
When we went to Bali, we stayed in Canggu.
Canggu. It's just Canggu. On from Seminyak, yeah.
We stayed in one villa in Seminyak and one in Canggu, yeah.
And what did you think?
Look, it was great. It was just what I thought our Bali holiday would be like. I mean, we've never gone to Kuta. I think we went to Noosa Dua last time we were there. So I know the traditional, it's almost like an Australian rite of passage to do a Bali holiday. And different ages, you do different versions of it. We went with all our family, like all my husband's family, all our family. So we just knew we were just going to hang in villas and just do sort of group activities in and around where we were staying. We weren't there to explore or do lots of stuff. We just, you know, went to the water park, whitewater rafting, but we did a lot of stuff just based around the villas. So that was great for us because it was just an easy kind of holiday for that for us.
Yes, yes. And, of course, for the reasons you've just touched on, if you're an Australian that has Australians at school, of course, if you go in the Australian school holidays, and your children are going to see other children they know. And that's what I found, you know, that was a first for us, I guess, is that, you know, we've gone off to Bali. Oh, actually, there were a couple of things. Number one is we flew with one of those budget airlines out of Australia. It's called Jetstar. So it was incredibly cheap, I have to say. I think it was about $500 return to go to Bali. Like, and so it was very, very cheap. But you get on the plane and then you go, oh, this is why it's so cheap. Oh, you know, there are no televisions. The seats are like hard. They're more like the seats at the gate, do you know, more than they're hard and they're metal. There's no reclining seats. Like it's just this hard leather seat. You know, you're with the masses of, and you're all Australians all on your way to Bali. There's a lot of surfboards, a lot of bintang t-shirts before you've even got to Bali. But anyway, so one of my very precious children who has spent her life as an international kid actually said something to the effect of, are you even allowed to take a plane like this overseas?
You see, that's your 9 years in Qatar and your Qatar Australia flights always been through Qatar, yeah?
They've
spoiled you, Kirsty, and your children.
Oh, dear.
Even in economy. Now they know how good they've got it in economy.
Yes. So, but of course, the bizarre thing, because, you know, we're flying out of Adelaide, it's South Australian school holidays. So, you know, people on the plane. Like it's a real, oh, hi. You know, oh, look, there's the lady that works in the shop down the road. Oh, look, there's the other mum from school. Or, you know, so now because my bigger kids are, you know, 15 and 16 and 18, and so they knew other teenagers and uni students and other big people. So for them it was the perfect holiday because you can give them $15 and they feel like they are supremely wealthy because they get hundreds and thousands of rupiah and they can buy a few little knickknacks and go and barter with that money, or they can, you know, have their toenails painted, or they can, you know, find something to do. And it to them feels like they're on this really adventurous sort of holiday because they're on they head off.
Yeah.
I did hear a story recently. We had a fantastic cafe down the road from us and I'm so cross I can't remember the name because I'd love to give them a plug, but Watercress, that's what it was. So fantastic cafe down the road. They had a deal that because they were trying to get more people to go there at night time. So if you went on and you had a receipt, you could get a cocktail with that receipt. And I did find out that later, and this is what you have to be aware of with Bali holidays, is there were other young adult, you know, my friend's kids that were on the holiday who were 18, 19, 20, who, you know, suggested one day, oh, okay, let's go use the receipts, you know, the parents' receipts to go and get a
of
cocktail.
Course.
I'm pretty sure my soon-to-be 16-year-old son may have had a margarita at 10 a.m. I don't have the full facts on that because I don't really want to go and revisit it now, but it's something maybe everybody should be aware of, that maybe in Bali they're not going to police the rules
perhaps, ID.
as they would elsewhere in the world. They might let your child do that. So, yes, but the kids just absolutely loved it. And, yeah, it is. It's that holiday where – you're all on a holiday because nobody's doing the cooking, the washing, the cleaning. You know, there is someone there to help you out. We did the same thing. We had kind of a villa, and then we were able to, you know, request certain meals at certain times. And yeah, it was an absolute holiday. And we all agreed at the end of it that we would definitely love to do it again next year. Now, whether we do, I think we would probably get a bit further out than Seminyak, because you do just a few days in Seminyak and then get somewhere a bit more isolated. But yeah, I mean, all of those Asian holidays are like that, aren't they? They're just so much more relaxing.
I agree.
Now, I was going to say, if this is our summer podcast, I would love to hear about anyone else's holidays, because I know in our Two Fat Expats group, our Facebook group, there's a lot of conversations about vacations and holidays and breaks and advice. So please, people, if you've had a great holiday and you want to tell us about it, just go on over to our website, twofatexpats.com, click on the microphone and tell us where you went, what you did, what you liked about it. We'd love to hear.
Okay, Kirsty, I'm going to disappoint you because I think we're going to push over the 30 minutes, but just by a little bit. But anyway, I know that's a shock to you. I just want to talk about our interview that I did this week for Y. So Y is for Yongsan-gu, which is an area of Korea. And I interviewed Catherine Johns. Now, Catherine has lived out of Australia for 16 years with her husband. They started in Orlando and then went to Tucson, Seoul, Hong Kong, Bangkok, and now they're back in Seoul. This is an area of Seoul, Yongsan-gu. And when I said, why go back? And she said, why not? It wasn't the easiest location they lived in, but they thought it was a great expat community and they thought, let's roll the dice and see what happens. And the other thing she said, which I really related, was that she never might have chosen any of the locations that they lived in, except maybe Hong Kong, but then they never would have had those experiences. And then they always, it's not a bad fallback to go and live in Australia if you have to. Catherine's husband, Chris, works in hotels. And in Bangkok and Hong Kong, they lived in the hotel, which is amazing. She had some amazing stories about that. So at the moment, they live, as I said, in Yongsan-gu. I'm sorry, Koreans, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm sure I'm not. So Seoul has 9 million people. And Greater Seoul has 20 million people, so that's quite a lot. But this little area has 330,000 people. Wow. And the interview I'm about to play starts at the 12:40 mark of our conversation. So we definitely covered a lot of ground before I got there, as per usual. But let's listen to Catherine. How long have you been back where you are?
A year and a half now.
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your current level of in love?
Now I'm still in my post-holiday funk, so that's why I always have to take a few days to kind of get back. So I would probably say 7 going towards 8.
Okay, and is that sort of up or down on 6 months ago? Are you on the way up again, you know, after you have a post-move slump, I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I've got more things sort of happening on the go here as well, which is making it's, you know, a lot, I guess, me, I'm a bit more occupied. So it's definitely helping, getting more involved with the community and doing things as well. So, you know, I mean, I think it takes a year to sort of settle down and get through. You've got to get through the first year and get alive the land and get everybody settled. I think it takes a full year to get through every occasion and birthday or festival before you sort of settle properly.
I think that's 100% true. And what's your best local find? A new one or one from before, or?
Yeah, I think it definitely has to go back to the wholesale handbag market. So it's like it opens at like 11 at night and closes at like 10 in the morning. And you go in there and sometimes they'll talk to you, sometimes they won't and sell you stuff. But it's just a range of like some locally designed handbags and then sort of some sort of rip-offs and stuff like that. But it's just amazing little find. Koreans don't go there. They don't like going to these markets. And so you'll find all these expats going in groups and like, it's really quite fun. And I've still got bags from 9-10 years ago. So they're good.
So sorry, it's open overnight. It's not open during the day. It's at night.
Only at nighttime. So you either go, like, sometimes if you want to go, sometimes you go out for sort of drinks and karaoke and then to the handbag market, but that can be fraught with danger for obvious reasons. Or you go early in the morning, so sort of 8 o'clock in the morning. If you leave it too late, they're sort of a bit grumpy and tired from a 12-hour shift. So all of the little shops come in to buy overnight, and it's open for the wholesale market. So they go in and buy all their bags and then take it back to their little shops, you know, sort of all over Greater Seoul or Korea area and sell them there, all the dress shops.
Oh, but you're allowed to buy them as well. You don't need special cards or ID or anything to buy them.
No, and most of them will sell to you. Some of them will get a bit grumpy and say, no, wholesale only, if they don't like the look of you or something along those lines. But probably 75% will sell to you as long as you're sort of nice and as long as they don't have any buyers. If they've got sort of buyers there, they kind of forget you.
Right. Okay. Wow, that's amazing. That's a great tip as well for people visiting Seoul as well, I guess. What drives you crazy?
The one thing that we didn't ask the question, didn't even talk about when we said come back, because again, we thought, oh, you know, it's an easy location and it's a safe, like your personal safety here is very good, is the pollution has gotten way worse than we had thought it would be. And so there were days earlier this year we just couldn't go outside and that was driving me sort of mad.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that? So I know people in different locations deal with it differently. The inside thing. Do you have air purifiers and do the girls wear masks when they go to school or how does that work?
Yeah, we do sometimes, but you know, again, they sort of go straight on the bus across to school and the school's very good. It's quite modern and things like that. But we're in an older sort of apartment. It doesn't have the best, you know, the pollution's going to get in sort of thing anyway. And I'm in this sort of like a bit of a roundabout situation where, you know, people buy air purifiers to run all year round. Right now, everyone's got air conditioners and dehumidifiers running because the humidity is so high and it's so hot. And in wintertime, they have humidifiers and heating going. And so, you know, it all round uses electricity and becomes another plastic appliance, which turns, you know, into the problem of landfill and using electricity, which is polluting the air as well. So everyone has their own way of doing it. You know, we do have a purifier in the lounge room if we need to sort of. But the kids, obviously, with their activities at school, they're not here that often. I think it's different as well. If you've got little ones, we don't have. They're not so little anymore. So I think it's a different situation. But it's, you know, it's across Asia. It's such an issue. You know, it was an issue in Hong Kong. It was becoming an issue in Bangkok. You know, it's a major issue here. So we're trying to do what we can to get around it. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, like today it's beautiful, sunny skies, blue, you know, no pollution and, you know, that's the sort of Seoul you remember and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. What's one place you'd love to live, given all the places you've lived so far?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think I'd have to probably say somewhere in maybe France or Italy or something. I think it's the food and the wine that appeals to me more than anything.
Good point. What's the best piece of advice you've been given about your expat life?
Good question. I think it's very much, you know, give everything a chance. You know, again, take it day by day. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, and you've got to embrace the bad as well as the good. So enjoy the good, embrace the bad, you know, work through it. But, you know, I think it's an opportunity sometimes, like you can almost restart sometimes and go, oh, actually, maybe I want to try this now. And you've got a clean slate sometimes every time you move, but you don't know anyone. So you can do something different with yourself if you want to. And that's kind of been quite fun to do that and try something different that you may not have done if you were still in the last location.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I never would have learned to surf if I hadn't lived in Durban, I don't think. I know that's not necessarily what you meant, but that's definitely the truth.
No, but that's exactly right, yeah.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned?
Oh, I think it's that you just need to, I guess, stay calm and just remember everybody's take on things is quite different. So, you know, things that may have upset me, say in America or something, that I'd sort of get, you know, right, this is not going to happen. I don't want this to be the case. You know, you get to somewhere like Thailand where, you know, it's done the Thai way or, you know, you can't change it. It's like, you know, so you just got to go with the flow a little bit and accept that it's not always going to be the way you want it or what you're used to, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just different.
Yeah. That's the hardest bit when you move, isn't it? The whole, I've been doing it this way for X years and then now you're telling me I can't do it that way.
We had a leaking tap in Bangkok, and the guy came to fix it, and I went to turn the tap on, and it's sort of one of those ones that you lift from side to side.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't turn on. And I said, it's not working. And he came to me and he said, and he pushed it down. And I said, no, that's the wrong way. It's, you know, and his English wasn't very good. And he's like, no. He said, look, cold water this way, hot water this way. Turned it off. No leak. Fixed. And he walked away. And I was like, so I had a tap for almost 3 years that was opposite to what it should be, which was quite funny when someone had to come and turn the tap on because it sprayed up in their face.
So it wasn't a leaking tap at all. It was a working tap. It was just working a different way.
He said, fixed. And it was. And I thought, you know, that's not a battle that is worth fighting or that I'm going to win. So accept it, get on. And I used it quite happily for 3 years.
I really enjoyed Catherine's interview just for the reminder of Asia, of how it never goes to sleep. When she talked about the markets and going there at night, I just, you know, I really miss that about Asia, and I miss the smell and the busyness and people show and share their lives so much with you in Asia, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's so exciting. There's always something happening is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I also thought there was a really good point that Catherine made about how long it takes to settle in a new location. So especially in relation to family, so you always have to have one birthday, one anniversary, one everything before you feel that you've got a new place settled.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of a good way to think about it.
Yeah. I always work on wherever you leave a placenta, you've become attached to as well.
So Malta it is.
Dear, hey, have we got time to do a quick what are you reading, what are you doing sort of
let's
thing?
Let's try. Let's
All right.
See.
Oh, okay, I'm going to do this really fast and maybe we can report back on it later. But I have just downloaded Three Women because I'd heard so much about it, written by Lisa Tadeo. I listened to a podcast with her talking to Mia Friedman on No Filter and instantly had to read it, and I've since then heard other people talking about it everywhere. Have you heard anything about the book, Nikki?
I haven't. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. So yeah. I'm out of the loop.
Right.
On the current hits.
Yeah. I won't say too much about it because I haven't read it yet. I've only listened to podcasts about it, but I will report back. Three Women, Lisa Tadeo.
Now, I have joined a new book club, Kirsty. And it's every 2 weeks, and you can't go if you haven't read the book. And I've been 3 times, so that's
Holy
very
moly. So they're giving you 2 weeks to read a book?
Yeah, it's twice a month, yeah. Pretty much.
Wow,
so not all the same people go every time. So someone might go every third time. You don't have to go every time. It's a larger group of people. It's women. It's a larger group of women, and it's one of those things. It's like cookbook club. Like if you think you're going to like this cookbook, you should come this time. And it's the same like book club. If you think you're going to like this book, you should come this time.
And how have you made sure you've had that reading time available to
Audible, read to, baby.
Right, you know. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I'm a total cheat.
Yeah. See, I think I have tried to do a bit of Audible, but I think I tend to – if I put it on at night, I'm going to fall asleep immediately. I don't know if I concentrate enough to do, like I can do podcast after podcast after podcast, but sometimes I feel like I miss too much in the book.
I have to agree with you. I would say things like if I'm doing a walk, like I'm I walk around the Ulster here, which is a lake in town. If I'm like leaving my house, doing 10Ks and coming back, that's when I listen to the book. I can't listen to it when I listen to podcasts, like when I'm cleaning or going to the supermarket or when I've got other things I'm doing on public transport, looking around. When my mind can do something else, I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
But if I'm just doing something specific, like if I was going to the gym or whatever, that's how I can listen to a book. That's how I do it.
Okay.
So that's it. So I'll talk about those books next time. But what I've been reading this week, Kirsty, is the final outcome of the inaugural Two Fat Expats footy tipping competition. Now, I'd like to say last time we talked, you were in equal fifth position and you finished overall. You went up and down a bit after that. I even caught you at one stage. We were equal. But you finished the tournament in sixth position and I finished in ninth, which I think is not bad considering I had no idea. But the winner on 132 points with a margin. Now, someone else had 132 points, but her, this girl's margin was better. Helena has no idea. Now, Helena, that's a big fat lie because someone had an idea.
I think we need to talk to Helena. Have we got any way of contacting Helena?
Yes, Helena is a little bit active in the group, so I'll try and get an interview in for next time so we can ask her her secret.
Yes. I'm just looking at the list here, Nikki. So we had Helena has no idea at first, and then Melissa was second, Melissa O, who came in as Lissy Hawks, which I gather means she barracks for the Hawks.
I gather that too.
Right. Then, and then we have Andrew C, who I think might be Andrew Casey by looking at the name there. He came in third. So I'm going to have to admit something. I don't understand when it says here the margins. What do you mean by the margins? Were we meant to put margins in?
Kirsty, yes. Every week, the first game of the tipping, for someone who lives and breathes AFL during the season, I'm very worried for you. And also on a podcast I know you listen to, they yes. always talk every week about the margins. You just had to pick the margin for the first game every
right.
week.
Right. Okay. See, I don't always listen to their footy tipping, though, because they have a separate thing with their footy tipping. And we're talking, of course, about a Don't Shoot the Messenger, which I absolutely love. I love
one
those
of our favourite podcasts ever. Yes. Yes. So anyway, after fourth spot, which Terry Ann came in fourth, there is a run of your family. There they all are.
They are too. So I can see second child came in on top with 122nd. Then I came in at 125. My other daughter's 125.
But you beat her on the margins.
Aha. I'm going to have to pay way more attention to those margins next year.
Okay. Movies yes. and telly. I know you've been traveling and doing all sorts of things. I have also, you know, I watch a lot of telly. I've watched less over summer, I must admit. But I do have to mention one TV series I watched, which was Years and Years. It's an HBO and BBC joint production. It's quite British in its approach. Well, it's about Britain. And it's about members of one family and they all sort of represent various aspects of today's life. So one of them's a banker, one of them's an environmentalist, one of them has a tech-obsessed teen. One of them is a social worker who falls in love with an immigrant and one of them is physically disabled. So it's sort of like all the children represent different parts of society and it starts in today's time and Emma Thompson stars as a Boris Johnson-esque type figure from a splinter party who everyone thinks is a bit funny and won't ever get anywhere. And in parallels with today's world, as time goes on, every show jumps a few years ahead, and you see that this growing movement in the UK, and then she becomes the Prime Minister of the UK, and it's about what happens to the family over that time period, and it's deeply disturbing, but also I really love it, and it's got some actors in it that I had seen in other shows and I really enjoyed and I really loved it. And a couple of the things was sort of really impacted me more than I thought. I thought, oh, I really like this show more than I imagined when some crucial things happened and it really affected me while I was watching.
Yeah.
But it's a black comedy. It's slightly horrifying, but you can't look away.
Yes.
So Years and Years.
I have seen the shorts to that. I don't know how I'm going to watch it in Australia. But or where I would find it.
I think it's been on HBO already, but I think BBC is going to be putting it on later in the year.
Oh, good.
On their free-to-air. So I think that's one way you might be able to see it. I'm not sure where else or how else it will come up, but I think it will be really big because it was quite amazing. And the other thing is, because over summer there is no TV shows on, no new shows really. And so I went back to Grey's Anatomy season one, episode one, and I started it all over again.
Oh, that's a great idea. That is a really great idea. Have you noticed the influx of teens now that are all watching Friends?
Oh, my daughter is obsessed. Yes. And it's her birthday and has sent me a request for a Friends Lego set because now there's Friends Lego.
My son, one piece of clothing purchased over the summer was a Friends, like, windcheater or hoodie, you know, like with the Friends logo on the front.
My daughter kept coming saying to me, do Ross and Rachel ever get back together or are they really going to be apart? And do Monica and Chandler end up together? And I was like, you're just going to have to wait and see. Hey, and then my husband and my daughter sing Smelly Cat together in the hallway. Oh. And it's a whole thing. It's like a family thing.
Last night I watched a quick, like, you know, one of those quick Facebook, you know, 3-minute videos where it had the last line of some of the most well-known television series. And it was absolutely fantastic because it took you back to the last scene of Seinfeld and, you know, the last scene of everything. But at that for Friends, because I thought, oh, I actually can't remember what the last thing was. But they're all together in the apartment and then someone says, should we go and grab a coffee? And Chandler says, where should we go? And, everyone laughs. So it's really cute.
That is cute.
Okay, have we gone too far? We're at 40 minutes. I think we're going to wrap it up, right?
Right. I can do a new podcast next time because I've also got new podcasts.
Okay. And next time I want to hear all about your holiday and everywhere you went. But I think, Nikki, we could probably record again in the next couple of days, right, and put these out quite quickly together, couldn't we, before we get started. Because we technically, the summer is almost over.
Okay, good chat.
Yes.
See you later.
Bye.